This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story.
Chapter 14. Catriona's refusal was emphatic.
You don't know what you're asking, Tom.
I'm asking for my sanity.
Your help.
The best help I can give is to say no. And so no, it was. By late afternoon, the storm had abated and small patches of blue sped across the sky to the hills in the north. The man, Callum was his name, lay awake and in pain for hours. Tom overheard a heated exchange between him and Catriona, his own name fired like bullets in the fight. When she returned from the latest bout, she donned her coat, the yellow-red garment he'd worn in the boat, and tossed Tom the man's.
"Let's get some wood," she said.
Tom pitched a tarpaulin-sized jacket around his shoulders and wormed his hands through the windsock sleeves. The baggy tent hung below his knees and disappeared his fingers so that he had to turn the cuffs again and again to be able to see his hands. Outside, the wind scudded above the hills, leaving the land at sea level virtually untouched. The lazy sea undulated, spotlit by a travelling shaft of sunlight slanting on the glittering swell of fragmented fire. Turning right, the pier picked along the edge of the bay, a natural catchment, it seemed, for the detritus ejected by the storm, passing an enormous twisted branch, a sculptured effigy of a petrified sea monster that was too big to carry. They continued their search, clambering over weed-covered rocks that slithered and popped underfoot until they reached a tiny churning inlet, its cargo of flotsam smashed to thoughtful sizes just big enough and small enough to be perfect. Tom worked silently. Buoyed by the heady buzz of physical exercise, he and Catriona ferried their loads back to the cottage, spreading them on the lawn in tidy lines to dry. Tom carried a small bundle into Callum's room and piled it in front of the fire to quick dry. The man glowered at him as he worked. Tom noticed this and tried to shake the belligerent stare. "How are you feeling, Mr. Callum?" His words could have been poison darts spitting across the room. The man's face twisted in pain and he barked,
"I'll be fine."
Tom wanted to apologize for the incident on the dinghy, but the giant turned his gaze to the ceiling and whispered,
"Close the door behind you."
Tom flickered a weak smile and left to join Catriona outside. Spotting her lying on a column of rock, he climbed the 10-meter face to join her. The clouds continued to disperse, the occasional blue hole now a patchwork of drifting fluff and clear sky. The sun baked the flat rock, steaming its wet surface to a wispy haze, placing Catriona on a surreal bed of living stone. "Your uncle doesn't like me. He thinks you're trouble. He may be right." The gulls were out again, this time joined by sleek white birds that Tom knew instinctively to be terns. They flew over the water, scanning the ever-quietening surface, diving suddenly on folded wings and dagger beaks to spear the sea. The storm over, Tom looked across the water to distant hills and, shrunken by that distance, a parade of wind generators shining like miniature baton-twirling majorettes. He sat beside the girl, trying not to stare as he took in the gloss black of her hair pillowing her head, her dark eyes squinting at the sky. He lay back with his elbows propping him at a tilt and watched the birds. There was so much he wanted to say. The weather clearing, he was no longer trapped and refreshed his determination to go for help. According to Catriona, there was a path over the hill. He could be in Lochranza in a few hours looking for a boat to ferry the injured man to hospital. But when he suggested this to the girl, her answer only deepened the mystery of who she really was. "We can look after ourselves, Tom." A dark cloud stood out from its white cotton wool surroundings. Staring at it absently, the boy noted with vague disinterest that its individuality did not stop at its brown colour. If it wasn't for Catriona by his side, He would have been intrigued by its movement beyond the subconscious stirrings of curiosity flittering through his mind. The cloud moved towards them as its companions drifted left to the Northern Highlands. The observation bubbled to the surface when the mass suddenly swooped right and he realized that the cloud was not a cloud, but a swarm or a flock or even an isolated flurry of living rain. The movement caught his attention, but his focus remained on Katriana's words. Her independence did not surprise him. In the short time he'd known her, he expected little else. He stared at the shifting cloud, his brain and vision momentarily coalescing to form surprise, the notion that something required his attention. As a part of him struggled with the enigma of the girl by his side and the curious event in the sky, both were interrupted by the sharp bark of a dog in the hill behind them. Tom felt Katriana stiffen. He turned to look for the source, but the girl was quicker, reacting, it seemed, with the reflexive speed of a child scalded by fire. She jumped from the rock, sinking into the pebbled beach with a gravelly crunch, and ran for the cottage. She stopped, and Tom saw her dilemma as she turned back towards him. They could not see the dog, but a man, a rucksack on his back and a stick angled on his shoulder, descended the hill directly behind Cregan. The walker concentrated on the surety of his feet and appeared unaware of their presence. "Quick," she said under her breath. "He can't see us." This statement encapsulated everything that made no sense about the girl and the companion she called her uncle. Here they were, trapped, in need of help. Tom with his aberration and the man with his injured leg. And all Katriana could think of when help arrived was to hide. The stranger disappeared below the roof as he dropped down the steep path behind the cottage. They had seconds to act before he would emerge from the side of the building. Tom joined the girl in one easy bound, bending his knees and touching the beach with his left hand to soften the noise of the jump. Katriana grasped his hand and together they bolted for the door. Tom had no idea why they were doing this, but the electric shock of Katriana's hand in his gave him something else to think of. "Damn!" Katriana spat under her breath. Crossing the lawn, she saw the parade of drying driftwood, an advertisement for the presence she sought to conceal. She skipped over a line of wood, but as she stretched for the doorknob, a cute brown and white beagle frolicked around the corner and yapped so loud and unexpectedly that Katriana cried out in fright. The dog spun on his sport and vanished the way it came. Katriana regained her momentum and threw open the door, but it was too late. A man's voice, bright as the post-storm day, exploded the girl's hope of remaining incognito as surely as the remains of the splintered boat lying on the seabed close by. "Don't be frightened, lass. She's a bear and she'll no touch you." And at these words, the couple stopped and turned to face the man.
DreamWorks.com.